Standard Oil Company of California welcomes you to the 18th program of the 22nd Annual Standard School Broadcast Course in Music Enjoyment. Presented and transcribed especially for you, our listening audience in the classrooms and homes throughout the Pacific West. Today, Matt the Mapmaker and Jack of All Tunes will complete their work on the relief music map of America with the music of time, music suggesting the changes that are brought about by the sun, moon, and stars. You will hear The Lake at Evening by Charles Griffiths, excerpts from Woodland Sketches by Edward McDowell, At the Setting of the Sun by Quinto Maganini, The Passing of Summer by Rossiter Gleason Cole, Stars by Mary Howe, Cloudburst and Sunrise from Ferdy Groffé's Grand Canyon Suite, The Winter's Past by Wayne Barlow, The Star by Rogers, and now Moon Over Taos by Franz Bornstein. Music you are hearing, Moon Over Taos by Franz Bornstein, and other compositions and songs suggesting the changes wrought on our map by day and night, dawn and sunset, months, seasons, and years, Jack of All Tunes and I, Matt the Mapmaker, are going to complete the Standard School Broadcast music map in relief. Have you ever had a lot of problems on your mind? Well, Jack and I found a solution. Whenever things get too much for us, we just go out at night and watch the moon come up. Marvel at the stars. Study the ebb and flow of the tides. Or walk in the rain. The world looks entirely different at these times. Once, I remember in particular, we were restless. So we decided to go for a walk. We climbed a steep path to the top of a hill. And there, before us, the whole world was beginning to come to life. It was that hour just between night and day. Dawn, and the morning star shone brightly.
Star of me, star of me, watching the mother sky, watching the mother sky, where thine elder sister be, where thine elder sisters be. Would I were heaven, would I were heaven. Oh,
You know, Jack, this is the earliest I've been awake for some years. Or do I mean it's the latest I haven't been asleep?
I think you mean this is the first time you've seen the morning star. Look out across the hills, Matt. It'll soon be sunup.
I can hear the sounds of early morning. Everything seems to be so silent. Still, there is a movement around me, but I can't see it. I only hear the sounds.
That's the trees gently shaking the dew from their leaves. The flowers lifting their sleepy heads. The grass yawning and stretching. The birds slyly opening one eye to have a peek at the weather. Before we know it, the sun will climb up over the rim of the horizon and the world will welcome a new day with the sunrise.
Jack, I believe this is the most beautiful sunrise I have ever seen.
I think each sunrise is the most beautiful I have ever beheld. And I have seen them for centuries.
Say, who are you? I've never seen you here before.
Well, you startled us coming up so quietly. Who are you?
I am Kwasind, the strong man of the Indian. Some say I am just a legend like Paul Bunyan. Some tell that I am the spirit of a vanquished race. Others do not believe in me at all. And I suppose there are those who have never even heard of me.
Well, surely everyone who knows Indian legends has heard of Kwasind.
Yes, I've heard of you, Kwasind. But I must admit that I'm more than a little surprised to find you here.
For some reason, I thought you were known only in the eastern part of our country.
Yes. Hiawatha, whose home is on the Great Lakes, spoke of you in his songs.
True. Hiawatha and I were great friends. But all of the Indians were my children. I protected them from dangers. I guided them to the good hunting grounds. I taught them animal lore. And in summer, when it was hot and dry, and the maize suffered for want of moisture, I stood on a hilltop and pushed the rain clouds together and squeezed out their moisture. And the rains came. Great, cool sheets of rain.
Thank you.
suppose you brought too much rain? Suppose it became a cloudburst. What did you do then?
Why then, with my foot, I created harbors and bays, lakes and rivers. The water was drained off the land into the rivers, which carried the water into lakes, bays, and harbors. But I had another reason for making the lakes of our country.
What was that?
Before I made the lakes, there were no mirrors in which the moon princess might see herself. And she was so beautiful. So I made the lakes. Now, at evening, she dances across the surface of the water, her long golden hair trailing behind her, her silver robes shimmering. And over all the land, her beauty is reflected in the lake at evening.
Then it was you, Kwasind, who walked across the country to the great northwest, leaving a trail of beautiful lakes in your footsteps?
Well, I did walk across to the bridge, and there are a great number of lakes, so...
What bridge are you speaking of, Kwasind?
Why, the Bridge of the Gods, which once spanned a mighty river.
Why, yes. There's a book written about a legendary Bridge of the Gods that once spanned the Columbia River.
Legendary? The Bridge of the Gods was a prophecy. It was told to my people at the Great Council of the Chiefs. That was many, many moons ago. At the Council Grove, women and young maidens prepared the meals. Children played in the shadows of the late afternoon sun. Young braves formed a circle around their elders. The mighty chiefs sat and talked and passed the peace pipe, while the prophecy was told at sunset.
Long have we known of the white man's coming.
Yes, we have steadily been forced to move west towards the setting of the sun. The buffalo is vanishing from the prairie. We are forced to travel for many suns now to find good hunting grounds.
The game in the forest is scarce. Our women have no buckskin with which to make clothing, no furs for robes in winter.
Let us make war on the white man. Let us not be driven from our land.
We have been warned by the gods. We must not make war. That is why we are here at this council. We know that if the gods become angry with us, they will destroy us. Someone among us has offended. We have not welcomed the white man as friend and brother. I have a fear that we are to be punished.
You are old. You are afraid.
I am old. I have seen many things, but I am not afraid. Let us make our peace with the gods Let us welcome the white man to this great and beautiful land. There is yet plenty of fish in the river, plenty of game in the forest. All the buffalo have not left the plains.
I say no. Let us drive the paleface back. Already he has plowed the land and built his towns. I say no.
The white man shall not come.
This is our land.
We will not share it.
And what of the bridge?
The bridge.
Yes, the bridge. The Great Spirit has warned us. Remember the prophecy. When the bridge of the gods falls, all the tribes will be conquered, and men of another race will rule our land.
That is only a legend, only an old woman's tale to frighten the children at night. Come, let us make our war plans.
What is that sound?
The whole earth is shaking.
The Great Spirit is angry. We have displeased him with our talks of war.
I don't believe it. Perhaps Fossin, the strong one, has tumbled some boulders into the river.
Perhaps the buffalo are stampeding.
It is not Kwasind. It is not the buffalo. It is the Great Spirit angry. It is the bridge. It is falling into the river.
And the great chief was right. The falling of the bridge foretold the passing of the red man. Sickness, starvation, suffering dogged him. The cold winds of the north chilled his bones. The icy streams held no fish. The buffalo left the plains. But finally, the tribes waked from their misery and hardships to find that the winter's passed. There's another old legend of the Indians of the Southwest.
You mean there was a bridge of the gods across the Colorado River, too?
No, not a legend about a bridge, but about a river. All the noblemen of Mexico had gathered with their ladies. Some of the gallant young men were to go with the brave Francisco Vázquez de Coronado to seek for the gold of the wonderful cities of Cibola in what is now New Mexico. What a sight it was. The men in their shining armor. Each warrior held a fine lance, his breastplate and armor flashing. Each soldier's lance and horse were decorated with the colors of his lady. Don Juan wore silver and blue in honor of his bride, Maria.
Farewell, my lovely Maria. Within a year, I shall return and lay at your feet such treasures as you have never imagined. You shall have rubies, pearls, emeralds to wear at your throat, cloth of gold for your gowns.
Oh, Don Juan, I shall miss you so. May all the saints protect you. May you return safely to me. I have asked each star in the heavens to guide and protect you. Each evening, at the same moment, let us both make a wish on the stars.
I will, Maria. Now, don't you worry. Think of all the beautiful jewels I shall bring back to you. Why, this separation will be well worth its price. Farewell, my wife.
Farewell, my husband.
For many weeks, the soldiers traveled. Mile after dusty mile. Then, miracle of miracles, they came across a Spanish youth in the desert. half dead with thirst, but with a wonderful story to tell.
I have seen it myself. From the hilltop, I have seen it. Shimmering in the distance, the seven cities. The walls of the houses are made of pure gold. They glitter with jewels. The Indians told me.
Where are these seven cities? What are they called?
They are called the seven cities of Cibola.
How do we find them? Speak up. Quickly, where are these fabulous cities?
I climbed to the edge of the cliff and looked across the wide canyon. And I saw them. They glittered, I tell you. I know it is true. It was just at the setting of the sun.
Finally, a scout was sent ahead, and he too returned with the same miraculous story. Just as the sun was setting, he had come up onto the rim of the cliff, and there, glistening in the late afternoon sun, were the seven wonderful cities. Spaniards pushed on, stopping for neither food nor drink, and in the heat of the midday sun, they came to the edge of the cliff. Before them lay the cities of Cibola, the golden cities of Cibola.
Mud huts. Look, huddled together in the hot sun. Little mud huts. You with the headdress. Come here.
You speak to me, white man?
I do. We have traveled many miles across the desert to find the seven cities of Cibola. Where are they?
These are the seven cities. I am the chief of these Indians.
Never mind. Where is the gold?
Gold? There is no gold here. The walls at the setting of the sun merely look like gold from the rim of the canyon.
Then it is not true. There is no wealth here. Is there such a place hereabouts as a city made of gold? Is there a spot on this vast arid desert that is richer than all the kingdoms of earth?
Your words are strange to me, but I will tell you all I know. They say there is another country, the Gran Quivira. There rushes a mighty river. The fish are as big as horses. Great canoes float there, each with its awning of golden cloth. The chief rests on a bed of roses with blankets of gold and silver to cover him. The feathers in his headpiece are held in place with rubies as large as your fist. And he rests under a tree whose branches are hung with tiny bells. Golden bells that jingle softly in the warm breeze and lull him to sleep. And when he eats, he is served on golden plates.
Enough! Enough! Which way do we go?
Why, follow the old buffalo trail along the cliff. It will lead you to the river. Then follow the river. But you must hasten. Soon the cold touch of the north wind will grasp your fingers. Hurry! It is now almost the passing of summer. Already I have heard the summer's farewell.
So the Spaniards crossed the painted desert and the petrified forest and finally made their way into the great Grand Canyon of the Colorado. But they found no trace of the fabulous chief or the tree with the golden bells. True, there was the mighty river. There was a warm breeze. There were great high cliffs, but no wealth. Finally, the Spaniards returned to Mexico, sick, disappointed, a ragged handful of men. They were not interested in the gold of the setting sun that splattered the adobe walls. They overlooked the jewels that glistened as the clear, swift river dashed itself against the cliffs and threw its spray of 1,000 gems high into the air. They even missed the pure, silvery glow that flooded the desert with the rising of the moon over Taos.
Draw a beautiful word picture, Kwasin, about the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the legends they tell. But I don't suppose it... Hey, Jack, he's gone. Kwasin is gone. Now, I know he was here a minute ago.
Well, he certainly vanished now, Matt. But then, so has the sunrise. But we certainly have learned a great many things, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And some of them would be difficult to paint on the music map without the help of Kwasin and all of our other American folklore characters.
So we take leave of Matt and Jack, who've told you about the music suggesting the changes that the sun, moon, and stars bring about on your standard school broadcast music map. Next week, we begin the fifth period on our music map, American Cities. The first one we shall paint on the map is New Orleans, the birthplace of jazz. The music will include excerpts from Groffé's Mississippi Suite, Juba Dance by Det, and other selections that tell the story of New Orleans in music. So be sure to listen. The Standard School broadcast is presented and transcribed in San Francisco by the Standard Oil Company of California. The orchestra is conducted by Carmen Dragon. Clancy Hayes is our jack of all tunes, and Jack Cahill plays Matt the Mapmaker. This is John Grover speaking.